God, I acknowledge you as King, King of all the universe, and King over my life and household. Lead us, we pray, in this way, this cosmic way, this way that's way beyond us, and also in the very practical way. In Jesus' name, amen. We have much imagery in the scripture about sovereigns, about kings and queens, kingdoms and reigns. In Canada, our system of government acknowledges Queen Elizabeth II as our queen. The first time I led a service as an ordained person from the Book of Common Prayer, there we pray for the queen. Now, that seems like a fairly straightforward thing to do, but for an American praying this prayer for the first time, it was quite something. I felt something shift in me, because in the States, you may know, we had something called the Revolutionary War, right? And our relationship with the Queen changed, I would say. Wouldn't you say, a bit? So I pray for the Queen and all in authority, and I do so wholeheartedly, but that first time, I'll never forget it, praying the Queen. We have an idea of a sovereign, and often it's in the personage of the esteemed Queen Elizabeth II. But I would say for most Canadians, although there's a range of opinion, clearly, maybe in Australia too, I'm not sure, it probably is, about the Queen. Some have a rapt sort of attention about the royals, and everything royal just sends them kind of a Twitter, and the Twitterverse lights up, right? And there's a lot of excitement. And if there's a new issue of Royal Dalton, they're on it, if it has anything to do with the royals. So some people are like royalists, right? And others, meh, right? She's sort of this benign presence, the sovereign who is this sort of benign presence and interested, but that's about as far as it goes. I would say, most likely, that many Canadians would say the same about Jesus Christ. Some interest, but meh. Sort of a benign presence. Christ the King, I think, really focuses our attention, and I hope it does, to a decision. Christ is King, or meh. That's why I like this bulletin cover. There are no words. There's nothing about St. Cuthbert. There's nothing about service times. There's nothing about the date. Because Christ the King trumps them all. Christ is the head of the church. Without the head, we're dead. We are dead. Maybe running around for a while in chaos before we die, but we're dead without Christ as the head, without Christ as King of this church. Sometimes we operate as though we could operate without Jesus. We're a skilled bunch. We have leadership abilities and capabilities. We have a lot of experience. We can do this, is sort of the attitude sometimes, misguided as it is. In saying that Jesus is head of the church, we're saying that he's sovereign in all decisions, that we consult the sovereign before we make any other decisions regarding God's church. At least that's what I understand. So it'd be quite right if you as a congregation said, is he the head of our vestry? Meaning the whole body as we gather? Is he the head of our parish council who fulfills the desires of vestry throughout the year? Is he the desire or the sovereign of our wardens and rector? You'd be quite right to ask me or any of us that question and then wait for a response. There's no question in Scripture, there's no question in Jesus. When he was meeting with Pilate, it's one of my favorite exchanges in Scripture. Pilate, who is governor, a Roman governor, he's come from Rome, he's staying either at Herod's palace or another fortress, just it's within the old city. just off the Temple Mount. And so from this place, Jesus would be marched after he was brutally beaten to Calvary. And so Pilate is sort of this last contact with the power brokers. And I love this exchange because I think it just speaks so powerfully of the powers of this world and Jesus, who trumps them and says, I have come into this world for this purpose. So he transcends any earthly powers in his first words. Is there any question in your mind that Jesus didn't know who he was? There is absolutely no question in my mind that Jesus knew that he was God's son with all authority in heaven and on earth. He said, if I was king of this world, people would be fighting right now to release me. In the garden, just the night of his passion, before he's even brought into custody, one of his servants slashes off the ear of one of the high priest's servants, and Jesus said, put your sword away. I could call a legion of angels right now if that were the way to do things, but that's not for now. And so I think this picture, if Queen Elizabeth II is no more than a benign presence in your life, right? You'd never criticize her necessarily, but, and if that's the case with Jesus, well, I think Christ the King is, well, it's for all of us, but I would particularly suggest that it is for you to perhaps make a decision or redouble on that decision. It's a way to reconsider this claim on the Christian's life if you call yourself a Christian, if you are a Christian, and we understand that that is by decision on some level. It's an act of our will. We receive Christ. We submit to Christ. We are baptized out of obedience. And at the heart of obedience, O-B-E-D-I-E, is die. We come and die to ourselves. And then we are raised in Christ with a new identity. We have a new boss. We are not any longer on the throne. We step down from the top rung, and we acknowledge that God is there, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In the baptism, as this morning, little Stella would be signed with a cross, and marked as Christ's own for how long? Forever, right? While I was away on holiday, I got an email that said my library book was overdue. I paid $2 when I got back, but, you know, so we dealt with it. But it wasn't forever. I couldn't have the book forever. There's so many things that are not forever. And so we do our best to sort of hedge our bets and to prolong the benefit as long as we can. But this one is we are signed with the cross, with the oil of chrism. It's an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. We are signed as Christ's own forever. Notice the possessor there, Christ's own. If someone did not know that coming to baptism, it's important to know that, that you are no longer your own when you come to the waters of baptism. You are Christ's own forever. Christ is king. God is sovereign. And if he doesn't have the right to our life, then that is the point of discussion. That is the point then of departure on this day, because God is saying that God has a right over all creation. It's a cosmic right. It's also a worldly right, worldwide, that is. He's the king of kings, all earthly kings. So our sovereign here bows her head to the king of kings. And she was consecrated in his name. And the oil of anointing was upon her head as a way to acknowledge that this anointing comes from without, meaning external to her through the church in Christ's name. Sometimes we come to baptism thinking it's like ticking the box, you know, when you sign up for some thing online and it says, can we send you notices and updates? And you have a chance to tick the box or opt out, right? Sometimes we think that's what it's about. We might get updates, but that's about it. And so Christ the King says something quite different. The first reading, David, King David, is dominated by this idea, by the reality that Christ is king and that he is a vice regent, that he is under God and that everything comes from God to him and that the blessing is totally wrapped up in God. David is one of, it appears, God's favorites, although clearly David was not perfect. David also sinned grievously before God and before others. The consequence of acknowledging God as sovereign is shalom. And the image that was used in the first reading is this grassy field drenched with rain. Now, coming from Israel and Jordan, I can tell you, I didn't see any of those. No fields of grass drenched in rain. Even though October and November are supposed to be the rainy seasons. In the 18 days we were there, or 15, whatever, we saw not a drop of rain. And so that's the image of shalom, being rightly related to God, very personally and as a household. And the consequence of not acknowledging God as sovereign is spoken of also through an image, the image of gathering dead thorns and burning them. Take your pick. It's pretty straight up in Scripture. It's like any law. I exceed the speed limit, I can get a ticket. Thankfully, I got a warning. We try to defy the law of gravity, jump off the roof of our house. Good try, but likely you will be injured. We pollute the air and the water we drink, and we get sick. So we try to skirt the laws of even nature, and we see the negative consequence. Why is it different in the spiritual realm? Why would it be different? I pose that question to you. We think we'll go our own way, that GPS will be enough. And we get lost. When's the last time GPS led you into a cul-de-sac and there was no way out? Duh! Right? And some of us order our lives like that. But there's an option. There's God's way, and God's way is perfect. Don't take my word for it. Try it yourself. It's a perfect operating system for humans. No updates needed. Maybe it's a constant update. I'm not sure. By the Holy Spirit. For beasts, for plants, for all of nature. So with God as our sovereign, in our households and lives, we'll experience the blessing of shalom. In Israel, you'll hear today on the streets, Mashlamech, Mashlamcha, how's your peace? How is it? What's that state of peace? It's no more than, hi, how you doing, but that's the heart of it. So how is your peace? How is your shalom? How's it going? And as a congregation, how is our peace? The teachers of the law in Jesus' day tried to trick him and always trip him up and try to get the Romans to have a case against Jesus. And so one of the ways they said, should we pay taxes to Rome? And Jesus said to the man, as recorded in Matthew's gospel, show me a coin and whose picture's on it? And the guy said, well, Caesar's. And then Jesus' beautiful response, well then, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, and render unto God what is God's. And so one of the most, I think, practical ways in my life, I suggest your life, consider it, that Christ is sovereign as our household, that we give to God a percentage of our income. That's a very concrete way of acknowledging that God is exalted. God is higher than I. The decision should be made in your household. And sometimes that's tricky because we may have an unbelieving partner or spouse. But we work it out the best we can. It's a decision that is reviewed periodically, and we don't have to make a decision every week. When the plate comes around, we don't have to go, oh, gee, what should I give this week? It's kind of like, you know, after you've had a meal out, you kind of think, well, what was the service like? Was it 10%? 15%? You know, we don't have to do that every week because we've made a decision ahead of time. And then the fun of it is the over and above gifts, we can say, well, how much should we give to this person, to this ministry, to this need, over and above what we've already decided to give. This says Christ is king in our household. It's one way anyway, and I believe it's an important way. I love to watch pro football on TV. There's a game this afternoon, isn't there? I think so. In case this was the Super Bowl I was watching, and a very unlikely victorious quarterback was being interviewed after the game. His name was Kurt Warner. And, you know, the interviewers asked a lot of stupid questions in situations like that. But one I remember was, what are you going to do with your Super Bowl earnings? I can't remember how many tens of thousands of dollars it was for the victorious team. But without a hesitation, Kurt Warner said to the interviewer, he said, well, first I'm going to tithe to my church. And I went, huh? On national TV, I just heard someone say, without missing a beat, first thing I'll do is tithe to my church. I think he was acknowledging in his life and household that Christ was king. That Christ was not just a benign presence, and God bless the queen. But Christ had traction every day in his life and the life of his household. God's full of grace, and we celebrate that grace today through baptism. And listen for those statements that says Christ is sovereign. Just listen for those. At this time, it always sounds a bit officious, but we'll present little Stella for baptism.